Thank you so much, Stan, for joining us in the Power Hour today. But the asking questions about what's going on with the weather also. I mean, it is so bizarre. We got snow and ice north of Idaho. We got the derechos in Indiana, which I'd like for you to speak about that. We've lost all of our grass, our hay, everything here in the Midwest, our crops.
Well, it's going to get worse. Holly and I have put up a thing on the website there. If you go to dandeo.com and scroll down to where there's a microphone next to the Power Hour line, you'll see view show images at the end of that line. If you click on there, the first thing that comes up is a picture of the derecho. And if you click on that, then you will see a graph, two graphs I've put up there to show the increase in the derechos, which is really extraordinary. In the last decade, they have really, really, really picked up. For the last 40 years or 30 years, I guess, I've plotted that. And what you see is that from 1973 to 2012, there are four decades there, there's a curve showing the trend, and it is an exponential curve when it hits 2003 through 2012. Now, some of the derechos have been, you know, minor, but we've been having some serious ones, as you know. And if you look at the year-by-year derechos graph, you can see that from, oh gosh, I guess about 2006, we started to have three or more per year on average, and 1 year, five. Now, we're only partway into this year, three quarters maybe, and we've had three derechos. Now, a derecho, I think these have been primarily caused by an interaction with the ambient weather and the jet stream, which does, you know, kind of dictate the clouds over the United States, especially in your area over there in the Northeast. This is going to get worse, in my opinion, because of the heating of the planet from the sun. But back in the late 90s, Holly and I were talking about it, and I think on one radio show I even mentioned that we're going to see hurricanes over land. Now, a real spinning hurricane, not just a derecho, which is a straight line wide event, but a spinning hurricane. And we nicknamed them then Landicane. And I think we're going to call these derechos Stormicanes because they're huge, frightening storms with hurricane force winds, but along a really long front, straight front, basically straight, a little bit curved. But these things, I think, are going to intensify for the next year or two, maybe three, as the sun goes through its grand solar maximum, which we have never seen before. These are rare, and we're not exactly sure what the government knows about this, but there is something going on behind the scenes. Warning families of people that have beepers on them that are either Border Patrol or other highly placed first responders in the United States. And they're looking for a serious event between now and October, I'm pretty sure, from what we've been able to determine.
Okay, now, are you saying that relates to the weather or to other events?
I think it'll relate to the sun and the weather. Maybe massive coronal mass ejections, maybe electric fires started along the power grid from a CME that causes arcs to the ground where the drought has just made everything a tinderbox, but they are expecting something very serious. We are getting this from so many different sources at the moment inside various agencies that I'm going to believe it now.
Now, what is this derecho? Where does it come from, and why are we just now hearing about it?
We haven't had a lot of them until the last decade. We've had, as you can see on the graph on the website there, we've had them increasingly since 1969. But the last decade has really seen a huge increase in that, and I do think it's part of this increasing activity, energy output of the sun. It is going through a stage that none of us, at least in the civilian quarter, had thought would happen. It's not a high sunspot period for the sun, but it's a solar maximum where we're seeing energy coming out of coronal mass ejections and flares. And these things are putting out 1,000 times more gamma radiation than they normally would for, I'd say, like, you know, a reasonably small CME. It's just, there's something unusual about the sun. And since 1992, we have known in the civilian quarter that it's increasing its UV output in two bandwidths. But I think it's grown larger than that now with the last year. These derechos are a function of increased heat on the planet, and it's coming from the sun, not from cow gas or anything else. The huge majority of it comes from the sun. Oh. I'm a proponent of sun getting hotter, you know, and all the planets feeling the result of that. The Earth is not the only planet that's heating up over its norm. Many other of the inner planets are as well. we're seeing it in the data we get from NASA probes, and we're seeing it in photographs of the polar regions and various spectral bandwidth. Things are heating up. Look at our North Pole. I mean, Greenland, the top cover of ice, disappeared in 4 days here recently, and that's a news story that you'll see on the website. When you heat a planet rapidly, like it's happening now from the sun, that energy goes into the electromagnetic field, and it goes into the atmosphere, and it goes, if the planet has water, into that. It goes into the whole weather system, the whole climate system. And I've seen it before. When a coronal mass ejection from the sun hits the planet, and it's a big one, it will dump electromagnetic energy inside the planet through the magnetic field around the Earth that goes in the poles, and it will reappear as heat spots under the oceans or land and bounce around for a day or two while it's being absorbed. And when it bounces around, it'll heat an area in the ocean, a circular pattern, maybe 600 miles to 1,000 miles in diameter. Now, you know, I tracked that before the Navy stopped letting us have access to the sea surface temperature anomaly, so I know it happened. Now, when it does, like it is now, consistently get hotter and hotter, it forces the weather machine of the Earth to become very disparate or very extreme, extreme wet, extreme dry, extreme heat, extreme cold. So for the next few seasons, 2 or 3 years, we're going to see real problems with the weather. We may see the biblical, you know, epics of big 50-pound hailstones coming down because these weather machines will be so dynamic.
Oh, my gosh. What about, I mean, let's bring it back to the present right now. We're burning up here in Missouri. The animals, I feel so sorry for them. You know, we're encouraging people to put out water for the wild animals, a pail of water. Everything's burning up. The crops are burning up. There is no corn. There is no soybean. There is no wheat. I mean, it's just devastated. Is there an end in sight to the drought here in the Midwest?
I don't think so. I think we're going to see increasing drought across the planet. And, of course, all the countries, third world countries, have been depending on us for grain loans, are going to be sorely short of supply. We're going to be seeing increased prices for all the corn derivative products in our food chain on the shelves. You know, the price is going to go up because it's not going to be there. I mean, even beef's being affected. Pork prices are going to be affected. Dairy products, I mean, you just watch. It's going to hit here in the next few months, and it's not going to go away for a while. The chemtrails, I think at this point, they may be just about to give up because we've reached a point where they're going to have to let it go. And with the news that we've been getting from people involved in various government agencies over the last, probably 6 or 7 weeks, we have, you know, gotten common reports about something that's going to happen between now and October. And I asked one of my sources, well, kind of when? Is it going to be closer to now or close to October? And the source said, I'll say again. There's going to be a major solar event between now and October. That's all you get. So there is something that, you know, maybe that's why they're backing off the chemtrails, because they're going to go underground and wait it out. There are going to be a lot of fires if we get a big coronal mass ejection. It won't start the fires itself. It'll cause arcing in our power grid, and it may ruin a lot of power transformers for several years before we could replace them. So people need to get their own little generators if they can and some fuel. Solar cells, we're telling people if you've been putting the preparation off to later in the year, you better rethink it, because I think something serious is coming down the pike right now.
Well, it seems that there's more preparation for underground movement within the government that we're hearing about. So
yes.
That kind of fits.
What have you heard?
Well, just hearing that there's been more and more underground areas that appear to be created
opened
or
up.
Built or whatever. Yeah, opened up.
Well, I guess most of us that live on the surface will take our lumps, but I think that if you know where caves are and where people have got pretty much a good underground basement, that might not help. But there are a lot of caves around. If you know, you can look on the maps. I think Holly has a map shows like dots in various states where they have a lot of caves. But when you go to find them, you find out a lot of them are federally owned. But even those, I mean, if you can get into them in your state, if things get really hot and a lot of stuff starts falling out of the sky, then whether it be asteroids or meteorites or whether it be hailstorms or whatever, go to those caves temporarily just for a week or two until that stuff passes.
Okay, let me just ask you. You say something major is going to happen between August and October. What are the options that it might be?
from what I can determine, it's a major solar event, which could be a large flare, a coronal mass ejection, maybe the sun getting very hot across the surface of it, changing its energy output, its irradiance factor. I don't know. Even the Hopi are getting ready for a hot sun. And if you look at biblical translations of prophecies in the end of this age, which we call the tribulation period, I think, it's saying that the light of the moon at night will be as the light of the sun during the day, which would mean, by reference to the sun, that it would be seven times brighter. Now, that might be visible light versus heat, but I'm sure the infrared output of the energy spectrum of the sun will be much greater. And it does say in the Bible it will burn a third of the trees, a third of the green grass, not just the dry grass, and it will kill the fish in the ocean, and probably the surface fish will boil. You know, if that's what's coming, food, water, provisions are going to be at a premium. And as I said, if people are kind of thinking, well, later toward Christmas or toward the end of the year after the election, I'll get prepared if I need to, you better rethink that right now and be getting your freeze-dried foods, your water purification tablets or chlorine or whatever you're going to get, and some stored water. And I'd put it in an area underground if you got a basement or, you know, dig one. Encourage everyone that can do it and get together little groups. Do it. Get your preparations that you're planning done now.
So when you're talking in terms of a flare or a CME, or I think, was there a third one that you mentioned?
Just heating.
Well,
just the heating up?
Yeah,
okay.
The sun just generally may heat up and get brighter. I also think at one point during the next 7 to 10 years that we could possibly, in fact, I'd say in the next 5 years, we could possibly see what appears to be a lot of sunspots on the surface of the sun, and so many of them that there's more dark space on the sun than light space. It'd be like holding up a muslin cloth to the sun now, like a black one, and you'd see through the weave, but you the little spaces between the weaves, but you would see a lot of dark spaces there. If that happens, there's another kind of radiation going to come out in the darkness. You won't want to be looking at it. There's just a number of options, which are first-time things.
Okay, so what are the implications of a flare and a CME? What are the implications? How would that appear to us? What could we expect as far as damage from those things?
Well, we'll probably get, I mean, if the satellites are still working and the data is shared with the public, we'll get at least an 8-minute, a warning of several days in certain types of activity. But for radiation releases, we won't have things that travel at the speed of light. We won't have a warning unless... Well, no, we won't have a warning. It'll just hit us within 8 minutes when it happens, and it'll be, you know, if you're on the sun side of the planet, you'll get it. I encourage people to have really good sunglasses with them all the time and to not look up when they see something unusual happening, to keep their eyes covered and their skin, if they can, from what does come down. As far as the solar wind and coronal mass ejections, these things blow off lighter electrons and protons normally, but they may be blowing off like iron atoms and stuff like that, heavier atoms, which may get in, you know, and mess up our electromagnetic field of the Earth and may contribute to the demise of our magnetic field of the entire planet. We know it's getting weak right now of its own accord. And if it goes to zero during all this trouble with the sun, we won't have an ionosphere protecting us. The magnetic field holds it in for us. If that disappears, you will definitely want to be hiding underground or away from sunlight until the magnetic field starts to build back up again in the reverse polarity. It'll start to shield us again. Without that shield, it is really going to be dangerous to be outside.
And we've been noticing things with the sun that just seems strange. One, you cannot look up at it. I mean, you shouldn't look at the sun directly, obviously, but you can't even look in the general direction of the sun, and it seems, as the sun used to be a nice glowing yellow color, this is super white color, and the corona, or I guess the brightness around it is much larger. And also, my wife has, I tan very easily. My wife does not, however, and she spends a lot less time outside than I do. However, this year, because we homeschool and she's inside with the kids a lot, however, this year she, just in the past few days, has really darkened up. I don't know if that has Would that have anything to do with the different radiation or, you know, that's coming at us?
It could very well, but the brightness, that whiteness you're talking about, is probably an increase in various ultraviolet spectra, which we expect. And we know we've had some since 1992, but this is getting more intense. And don't, as you say, don't look at it, not even through sunglasses. Just know that it's changing its albedo, you know, its reflectivity, its light output and stuff like that. And cover up and use sunscreen.
Okay, now, you know, it's recommended you get 20 minutes of time in the sun every day to get your vitamin D. Are you saying that you're recommending that people not go out in the sun now?
Well, I'd say I'd limit it. Your skin's going to tell you, and your eyes. That blue whiteness that you're getting is ultraviolet, and that's dangerous for you. The skin, if you start to feel like pinpricks in your skin, get out of the sun. It's not healthy at that point. And I've been through something like that down in Australia when the ozone hole opened up over the West Australian border. And I was getting pinpricks through my clothes from the sun. And women that were hanging out their white linens on the wash lines there were crying and having to wear sunglasses to keep their eyes from watering. It was just a terrible, painful thing to your eyes from the ultraviolet penetration. When that goes planet-wide, it's going to be pretty bad. And if the ozone goes, the radiation that will get through will be lethal, over a period of time if you absorb it. There's an area you need to look at on the Internet and keep an eye on as long as the Internet's up. Look at the South Atlantic Anomaly, It's an area where there is a weakness in the ionosphere, a hole, and it lets through radiation underneath it. Now, it expanded a few two or three years ago, and we were getting phone calls while it was happening. The edge of it hit some of the islands in the northeast part of South America, in the sea around that, and it was making children sick, nauseous, disoriented.
Okay, we got a 3-minute break.
Mr. Deo, I would like for you to discuss the video that was on your website about the energy pocket on the backside of the Earth, if you could.
Okay. There is a video, if you go to the sandeo.com and scroll down to where you see that microphone on the left. It's right next to the Power Hour link. At the end of that sentence about the Power Hour, there is a statement that says, click here to see show images. And if you click on that, it'll take you to a menu full of images. And in the third row down on the right, you will see Earth Magnetopause Mystery. And that is a video that a gentleman took off of the Internet before the government got rid of it so that you couldn't see it anymore. And what was strange, and you'll see in the video if you watch it, is that we'd all been following the solar wind and coronal mass ejections and flares and stuff when they threw stuff at the Earth and impacted the Earth's magnetic field. The stronger it was, the redder it got. And we only saw them on one side of the planet, the sun side facing. But this particular burst was so energetic that it wrapped around backwards around the planet and formed a complete pressure bubble of electromagnetic energy, you know, force around the Earth's magnetic field, which we had never seen before in all the years that we've been, you know, watching this stuff. And the Japanese supercomputer group that was showing us that stuff, that very day they took it down and said, oh, our lease ran out so we couldn't do it anymore and we don't have the archives for you to see it. And the archives for that period of time disappeared in the NASA and the NOAA figures. So this, what you see on this this movie here that the guy took off of YouTube or off of the screen is the only copy that we know of that survived in the public sector. It shows you a very anomalous thing, and he talks about it in the video. He narrates it, this civilian. So we do recommend that you have a look at that and understand that we're not blowing smoke at you. This is a real situation, and you're going to have to watch the, you know, NOAA, NASA, any of these people that are reporting solar wind, solar energy and stuff. Watch them daily if you have the opportunity, if you have the time. And when you see something anomalous, pull it down and make a hard copy of it, or at least, you know, get it into your computer, because it can't disappear.